Ladies and gentlemen, greetings and welcome to the Gabriel India Limited Q1 FY24 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. A brief question-and-answer session will follow the formal presentation. If anyone should require operator assistance during the conference, please press star and zero on your telephone keypad. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. It is now my pleasure to introduce your host, Mr. Manoj Kolhatkar, Managing Director from Gabriel India Limited. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. So good afternoon, everybody. This is Manoj Kolhatkar, and along with me, I have Rishi Luharuka, our CFO, and Nilesh Jain, our Company Secretary, as well as our advisors, SGA, joining on this call. So I hope you're all doing well, and you have had a chance to go through the results that we published on our board meeting on day 1st and 14th of August. And I'll just give a brief overview of the company's operation and take you along the slides of the presentation. Starting with the slide number five, which is the financial highlights slide. I'll just read the title so that we are all on the same page. This is financial highlights of the first quarter, April to June 2023. We had a revenue of 805 crores, which is the highest ever in a quarter that we recorded. This was, of course, on the back of some good overall automotive industry volumes. And also, glad to share that we did an EBITDA of 8.6%. We'll come to that later, but this again, we have taken the EBITDA upwards as we had been discussing on several calls in the past. And obviously, the PBT has the same impact of improved EBITDA. So the quarter-on-quarter, the year-on-year, if you see, the revenue grew by 11%, and the EBITDA grew by over 50%. So that is the kind of cost control that we have been able to do, mainly through, as we had discussed on several calls earlier, through our CORE 90 program, which is a cost-reduction 90-day program. The PV, just to talk on the different segments, the passenger car segment witnessed a 9% year-on-year increase in wholesale during the first quarter. The quarter continues to see strong order book on inquiries, improvements due to, obviously, seen in the semiconductor side as well, though not entirely gone away, but there's a clear improvement. So that's why the volumes are more predictable as well in the passenger car segment. And of course, the introduction of many new models that we have seen. Further, due to favorable monsoon conditions, still so far, I understand that this last week has been a little low in terms of monsoons, but there's still time to go. But overall, this has increased the farm income, and rural demand for PVs has also increased noticeably. Coming to commercial vehicle segment, sales in commercial vehicle actually fell by 3% in the quarter. This could be attributed to many people doing a pre-buy because in the month of April, we all know that we had to implement the BS2 phase two regulations and the OBD2. So both the two-wheelers and the passenger cars to a smaller extent because they were already kind of geared up for OBD2, onboard diagnostics too. But commercial vehicle did have an impact. So there was a kind of pre-buy that happened in the previous quarter. That's why we are seeing a little bit dip in this quarter. But despite this, the commercial vehicle remains optimistic with growth expected to continue. This is bolstered by the ongoing infra development in the country and robust economic activity. Further, advances in last-mile connectivity and improved e-commerce are expected to strengthen the commercial vehicle, supporting future demand. So this, we are clearly seeing more demand in the higher tonnage vehicles and on the other side, the smaller commercial vehicles due to mainly last-mile connectivity or e-commerce as you know. Two-wheeler sales increased by 11% in Q1 compared to the same quarter last year. So that is some good news, of course. although the sales are nowhere near what we did, you know, in 18-19, or let's say the best year, that was the best year, 18-19. But there are indications of a resurgence in rural demand, aided by the availability of more accessible financing options, introduction of new vehicles, and also all these price increases having been to some extent clearly digested by the market. And we are also seeing a very good growth, particularly in the premium category, and also a robust replacement demand. A key catalyst driving a recent momentum in EV was the FAME subsidy, we all know, which resulted in a huge surge, particularly up to the month of May. And in June, we saw the subsidy being taken away. So obviously, in terms of e-two-wheelers, or electric two-wheelers, this definitely did impact the industry. And, you know, the volumes fell down by, I mean, just 50%. Of course, May again, here again, you know, May was a pre-buy story. So people did buy over a lakh of two-wheelers. But in June and July, the volumes have dropped to, you know, almost 50,000. So we'll have to see how this pans out. But yes, the OEMs are definitely taking, you know, this challenge and introducing newer models which are more cost-efficient. We have seen some of those launches already. The three-wheeler has increased tremendously due to opening up of the entire economy, opening of the country. If you ask me, opening up of our own minds to shared public transport. So we have seen 89% increase in three-wheelers. In Q1, this segment had its third highest sales. This is again mainly due to the short distance commuting, which you all know. And the electric mobility in this space again has seen a great traction, and that continues to grow as was seen even last year. With the new launches planned, we are seeing strong growth in ICE segment. Definitely, while you know there's a lot of talk on EV, rightfully so, but even there are some good ICE products being introduced and continuously launched by OEMs. JVL is well positioned to meet the rising demand for all these products. Our R&D investment prioritizes new products and portfolio expansion. We are committed to increase market share to gain new customers. I will definitely be sharing in the couple of slides. Customer satisfaction and adaptability continue to drive our outperformance in the auto industry. Having said, given this brief backdrop of you know, the industry, I'll get back to the presentation to slide number 6, titled Financial Highlights. The revenue, I already mentioned, grew by 11.8% year-on-year, and even on the quarter-to-quarter, it grew by almost 10%. And EBITDA grew by 35.7%, almost 36% on a year-on-year basis. If you see on a quarter-to-quarter, it grew by 32%. The balance sheet position also is healthy. We have net cash of 323 crores, and CapEx, which we incurred, was almost 14 crores, mainly towards R&D investments and some capacity increases. This is the main capital that we did. Also for some technology improvements that we did in our process, like installing or increasing our robotization in one of our plants. Coming to slide number 7, which is again the track record, it's pretty much the same figures in a different format, so I'll not spend time on that. Slide number 8 is the quarterly performance trend, so you can see the margin uptick in the last Q1. Data point, and ROC also on an annualized basis is looking as high as 40% currently. Coming to slide 9, again it's the P&L statement, so we have already discussed that. I'll move to the trend charts on slide number 10, which are the key ratios. Slide 10 is again 10 and 11 are the key ratios, so I'll keep that as well. But coming to slide number 12, which shows the revenue mix, so clearly, we have seen improvement in the passenger car portfolio, so it has gone to 24%, two-wheeler at 61%, and aftermarket at 13%, which is good news. This balances the portfolio a bit better. This is mainly due to, many of our passenger car launches now seeing production. So like we have seen the Maruti Jimny, we have seen the earlier Alto, the new Alto of Maruti, then we have seen also you know, the Mahindra model is doing very well, and with a huge waiting list even now as we speak. So this has really helped us improve our passenger share in the total mix. In terms of channel mix, it's, I mean, of course, OE is 83%. Aftermarket did improve. I think we have been pushing continuously both the core products as well as we have tried to put some energy into pushing our tire and tube sales, which are mainly two-wheeler and three-wheeler segment. So that has also done reasonably well. And exports continue at 4%. Coming to slide, the 13 and 14 is mainly again on cash flows. We already discussed that. Now, I'll skip the earlier slides. I'll come to slide number 20. Our mission, I mean, the vision remains the same of being the global top five. Coming to slide 20, which talks about the performance segment, right? So the first segment I'll brief you about is the two-wheeler and three-wheeler segment. So here we are seeing 61%, which is 61% of total sale, and 32% market share is what we command now. So again, you know, many new launches, and we continue to get a good, healthy business pipeline going forward. EV, I'll come to that later. But, you know, you saw the latest launch yesterday made by Ola. So all, I'm happy to share that all the models shown, including the motorcycle, is with Gabriel. So if you come to slide 21, which is the story on EV, so we are seeing 73% share of business in EV two-wheelers and three-wheelers, of course. Three-wheeler also, we continue to supply to the top leaders in the segment, Mahindra, Bajaj, and Kinetic Green. And in two-wheelers, we are there on Ola, Ather, Ampere, TVS, of course, Okinawa, and Simple Energy as well. So this while we have seen a couple of months which are low, however, Ola volumes are strong, and we continue to see good pull by the customers. And with these new models, which you saw yesterday, one model being launched at less than 80,000. So we are seeing a lot of push and a lot of pull coming from the customer on this front. Slide 22 is on the new product that we introduced. This is, I had shared last time, that this is the, you know, front fork for the e-bicycles, which are, you know, a huge trend in particularly Europe, because they are highly environmentally conscious. And this also actually offers a very good way of transport from it, especially if your infrastructure is safe and good, which is what we see in Europe. So there is a tremendous demand of this segment. So we had exported our first. This is done along with Hero Cycle, so under the name of Spur. So they had exported the first 1,000 pieces, and the feedback has been good. Performance feedback has been good. There is feedback on, you know, some weight reduction that we have to do, which we are working on, and we will probably look at pushing this and trying to get more customers in, at least get some orders in the next quarter. We are also talking to some Indian e-bicycle manufacturers, while this is mainly export focus, but we are also looking at, you know, to increase our business within, or at least have Indian customers also buy these products from us now that we make this product. Coming to slide 23, this is on passenger cars. I already shared that 24% market share is what we have gained now. So Maruti Suzuki Jimny, which again has had a good response. And now we are happy to share that we are also on we already were on the EKUV of Mahindra, which did not do very well, but we are now on the Stellantis eCitro C3. So this is the second electric passenger car that we have got in our portfolio now. And in terms of future developments, we have the new platform of Volkswagen. Currently, what we are seeing is the Volkswagen Virtus, Virtus, Taigun, and the Skoda, Pushaq, and Slavia. So these production volumes are now doing very well, and the entire business is with Gabriel. And we also already got the business for the new platform, which is the MQB 2.5. Now coming to the slide 24, you can see the pictures of all the SUVs that, you know, Gabriel is supplying to. And SUV is the growth story, as you all know. Over 50% sale in the passenger car segment is actually SUVs, and we are well entrenched there. So you can see the Volkswagen, Skoda, the Toyota Highlander, and the Suzuki Grand Vitara, the Suzuki Brezza, the Mahindra Thar, XUV 700, Jimny, and of course, you know, the what do you call, the workhorse Mahindra Bolero. So all this continue to be the portfolio from serviced by Gabriel. So it is definitely a strong story. Coming to slide 27, commercial vehicles, yes, our market share continues to be on almost 90%. Business pattern also is good. Our story with DAF on exports is extremely well, as I shared last time. I'm not sure if I shared actually, but we got the quality award second year in a row. They have a 10 PPM award in the APAR world, and we have been recognized for that. So that is opening up new doors for us, for sure, in the APAR world. But you know, it's been a very good success story as far as DAF is concerned. And now we are working on some, you know, as the Indian CV makers also move or evolve towards higher tonnage vehicles with better comfort, we are also seeing a new requirement for high damping force dampers, which we are already supplying to DAF from Tata Motors as well, and we are currently in advanced discussions to close this business order as well. Slide 26 is on railways. Yeah, I understand that this is a very small portion, but again, we are proud that we are the only Indian supplier which has been approved for Vande Bharat. We also added electric locomotive to our portfolio. So we are there on every product that Indian Railways has, from LHB coaches to Shatabdi, Duronto, Vande Bharat, Train 18, and the locomotives. So we are there on that aspect, and we are also exploring now, as we speak, some opportunities for exports. Well, we'll have to see how this pans out, but we definitely are putting in focused efforts towards exploring markets overseas for railways. Slide 27 is aftermarket, which has seen an inching up in terms of the overall size. So we are at 15% of the total sales for this quarter. So, you know, we have been pushing this in B and C class town. We are adding new products. As I said, a specific push was, you know, put on the tires, tires and tubes, which I mean, is doing well. And we are also looking at opening up some more new geographies, in particularly in the LATAM region, Latin America region. And let's see how that goes. But aftermarket continues to be a strong pillar of our overall sales. Slide 29 is on our new company, new JV, which we started with TA, as we did mention last time, after our you know, call for the sunroofs. So in Alpha Sunroof, I'll come to the picture, but plant is almost ready. The demand is very strong from the customers. We have already met, I had already shared that we got the order for Hyundai and Kia. But we already met, you know, Mahindra, Tata, Maruti Suzuki, Renault, and MG, in fact, all the customers, and there's a very, very high level of interest. We had tech shows in Mahindra as well as Maruti recently at the group level, where we had demonstrated this product as well. So a lot of interest that we are seeing from customers on this sunroof, because obviously the demand for sunroofs, panoramic sunroofs in every SUV is almost nearing, you know, 70-80%. In some models, in fact, I mean, they have been saying that customers are wanting 100% sunroof. So really a very, very good product to be. And now we are focusing on getting the plant started. The machines will start arriving in this in the month of September. They have already been dispatched. So we will see the plant actually filling up in the next month. And starting of the trial also should happen from the end of September for the line. And some production we'll see, I mean, early trial production, of course, in the month of October itself. Just the pictures of the plant, you can see it's, you know, 170,000 square feet facility in the Oragadam area of Chennai, which is close to Hyundai. So you can see it's practically ready, and I'm ready to receive the machine, the assembly line, and the machine that will be coming at the end of, or during the beginning of end of this month and beginning of next month. Also, you know, one more important event that milestone that we had was opening up of the Gabriel European Engineering Center. This we have been working for some time now. As you know, we have already inducted the CTO, Mr. Koen Riebroek, who's from Belgium, an expert in suspension, especially in active suspension, for over 30 years. So he's our CTO, and we have been working with him to open up a European tech center because tremendous competence exists in this region and also in Europe overall, because the customers are demanding these kind of products more and more in that region. So we have opened this up in near Brussels, the facility in Genk, where there was a very close to the earlier Ford plant. In fact, it is very close to the Ford proving grounds, so that also helps us in doing our trials very quickly. You can see the pictures of this is the office that you see on the central left. Is a picture of the actual office that we have currently rented, and we'll be moving to a workshop in the same building. And this is the actual picture of the building. We're not renting, this is the actual picture. With the blue circle you can see, that is where we'll have the factory. Not factory, it's a workshop. It's called factory something to do with that nomenclature, but it's not a factory. It's going to be a workshop, so it will house our office, our engineers, and also our test equipment, the hydraulic force to lift the car and fit our suspensions, etc. So this, from here, we intend to clearly go for the best product in suspension. So not only in active, but also, semi-active suspension, but also in battery suspension. We are working on next generation evolving technology in close collaboration with global experts in this area. So it will be a kind of co-creation of this new generation evolving technology with help from the best in the field. This is the picture of our tech center in Chatham, which is fully functional. You can see it's absolutely state-of-the-art tech center. And happy to share that this has been rated platinum as far as the green building is concerned. So we have a complete solar panel on top. That's everything about this building. We have ensured that this meets the platinum requirements of a green building company. And this is the way going forward. We had already mentioned about 7 plants. So all our new plants or offices that will come up, we have decided that we'll go for a green building certification. Our Sanand plant is already at a silver. It was a brownfield plant, which we got a silver rating, and here we got a platinum rating. So this is our focus on ESG, as you all know. This is a very, very important part of Gabriel and as well as Sanand Group. We have a formal mission to be carbon and water neutral by 2025 with zero waste to landfill. And I'm happy to share again that 5 of our locations out of 7 are already zero waste to landfill. And we are doing well on the carbon and water neutrality as well, with renewable energy being almost 20% of our total energy consumption. In this annual report, we of course have the BRSR report, which will be which we already published. I'm sure you must have had a chance to go through our annual report as well as the BRSR report. So that's very quickly what I have to share as far as our presentation is concerned, and now I would definitely be keen to hear from all of you on the questions and suggestions and inputs. So over to you. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now be conducting a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press *2 if you'd like to remove your question from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the *keys. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while we poll for questions. Our first question comes from the line of Jay Kale with Elara Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question, and congratulations, team, for very good margin performance. My first question is regarding the on the margin side itself. If we see both YOY and QOQ, a large part of your margin delta has come in from gross margin expansion. If you just throw some light on what has led through, how much of it comes from commodities, how much from mix change? Because if I see a mix change on a YOY basis, you have your passenger vehicle contribution going up, but on a QOQ basis, your two-wheeler contribution has moved up. So just trying to get some flavor, how much of it is because of mix change versus commodities? That would be my first question.
Yep. Thank you for asking that question. So the gross margin expansion is on two folds. One is on the raw material side and as well as on the price recovery side. You have a specific question about the commodity. The net impact as compared to Q4 on the commodity side, including the denominator effect, which by the way is now playing positive in our case of reducing commodity cycle, is roughly 1.5%. On the mix side, it's in the range of 0.5 to 0.7%. And the remaining part of that is either through a better realization or through some of the settlements with the customer for price changes.
Okay, understood. My follow-up question is on the railway side. What is your outlook over there in terms of railways, given that, recently there has been also news flow of some bit of, PLI also being talked about for railway components. What is the import content in your type of product currently in railways? Any scope of expanding? And you mentioned that you're also looking at exports currently, but wouldn't the domestic opportunity be big enough for you to, kind of utilize your capacities, or you're seeing some competition also coming in on the railway side in your particular products?
Yeah, so on railways, like we always mentioned, it's a tender-based business. So even if you get some entry, there's always somebody who develops the product. The only thing is we have moved fast. We have been the first supplier to be onboarded for the Vande Bharat. And railways, again, the base is very slow. So the numbers are really small. It's not going to change in a big way, even though the PLI is announced or whatever. By the time it sees the light of the day in terms of the actual business, it takes a lot of time. But the good part is now we are there on everything that railway has to offer. So we'll definitely see some improvement. But again, repeating that the top line is a very small fraction of our, and as we keep on growing, the rest of the industry is growing at, as you know, last year, passenger cars grew at 22%, commercial vehicle at 40%. So these numbers are, railways are different, totally different story.
Understood. My next question is on the sunroof side. I mean, you you've mentioned about the sunroof penetration of panoramic sunroof versus TVS normal sunroof systems. What part of how much is it of imported sunroof today, and what is the kind of price value proposition you all get by localizing the entire sunroof in India? Is it 10%, 20% cheaper than the imported sunroofs? That is one. And second, between the normal sunroofs and panoramic sunroofs, what is the kind of price difference? Is it, panoramic sunroofs are double the price of normal sunroofs, or how does that equation go?
So panoramic sunroofs, the normal sunroof, what you're speaking of, just to clarify, it's called the TVS, the small sunroof, right? That's what you mean, right?
Correct.
TVS normal. So that's called TVS, so the tilt went and slide, and the bigger is the panoramic sunroof. So yeah, typically what you guessed right, it's almost a figure of double. The size also is double, and it's, the price also is almost actually double. With regard to the last part of the question, and the first part you said about in terms of localization benefits and how many of it is right now is imported. So right now many of the sunroofs are still imported, though as you know, Webasto has already set up facility. So still many of the sunroofs continue to get imported. So in fact, Hyundai Kia is almost other than a few TVS, the smaller sunroof models, it's all imported, which is where we are doing the localizing. The localization benefits right now is still small because the supplier base or the supplier ecosystem for it is yet to mature. This is the first time like Webasto has set up, CA is setting up, we are setting up. So now, obviously, the supplier ecosystem will also start getting more matured and evolved and set up. So the localization percentage for or the location content of the sunroof will go on continue to increase. Right now, glass has been localized largely, plus some other components, but I would say still long way to go in terms of more localization to happen in the sunroof category. But yeah, right now it's the imports would be to the tune of I would say almost 50-60%. Yeah.
50%.
Just last
question. It's heartening to see our share of business being higher in the UV side at around 35% versus 24% on blended market share. In terms of your new products, you mentioned we're seeing a lot of EV launches coming in from the UV players. How are we positioned in terms of, say, Maruti, Mahindra, Tata EV products coming in? How are our orders based on that? Because probably in the next 3 years, there will be a whole host of EV products launched. And you mentioned in your slide that M&M, you have one product over there. So is it an ICE product or an EV platform of theirs?
Yes, the M&M product is the EKUV, which actually is EKUV is a very small product, and earlier it was the E-Verito as well, that too, but that is not a big runner. The key thing would be to get on board for the new EV SUV products mainly. So what we are looking at is this tech center that we have put up both in Chakan as well as in Europe, exactly is to develop the latest technologies in terms of the semi-active suspension. So our first model, working prototype, fully functional prototype model, we test drove in the customer's spaces, and the feedback has been very good. So we intend to start getting into manufacturing phase somewhere in the end of 2024. That will position us well as far as any actual requirement is concerned. But having said that, there's a lot of passive suspension requirement as well. So we are there on the E3, which is the Citroën EV, and we are in advanced discussions for one of the Tata models coming up, which will be actually the Harrier EV. And in addition, of course, you saw the new Thar yesterday launched, the EV, not launched, what do you call it, the picture was, the model was showcased in Cape Town. So we'll be also discussing on that with Mahindra.
Understood. Great. Thanks and all the best, and wish you a sustained margin performance.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Mukesh Mandlesha with Anand Rathi. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on the good results, sir. And market share gain in the PV segment this quarter, and also the interest shown by new customers for this sunroof, sir. Can you indicate overall at the group levels what are the broader product areas where you're seeing the opportunities, where the global entities are looking up for partners like Anand Group to localize the product in India?
Mukesh, yes, there are definitely a lot of discussions with many OEMs, with Gabriel and Anand Group for new products. So, as you know, in terms of sunroof, we already got it on board, and then there are several other product portfolio which our partners do have, as far as Anand Group is concerned. It is not Gabriel, but our partners do have a wide product portfolio. We are introducing them to, as I said, these tech shows that happened recently. We did display them even in Auto Expo. So we are continuously looking and scouting for new opportunities to the product portfolio offered by our customers globally. So that continues. I don't know if I answered your question, but.
So my perspective was like Gateway also looking at the tech agnostic areas. So
yeah.
I just want to understand where you are seeing the opportunities, broader areas where you are seeing the and global entities looking out for partners.
Yeah, so that's the lens that we are looking at in terms of agnostic areas. So there are quite a few areas right now. Obviously, we cannot disclose. There are a lot of agnostic areas which are in high growth and particularly in UV segment. So we are scanning. So right now, I think we've got this sunroof now in our kitty, and the important thing is to see that this starts off well and is productionized well. So our energies are focused towards that as of now. Having said that, we are definitely looking and scouting for more opportunities as well.
Right, sir. Coming to sunroof, sir, I mean, there are only two sunroof suppliers who set up the plant in India. Would Webesto and Gabriel capture most of the opportunity as the sunroofs are localized? And can anybody indicate who are the other players who are importing the sunroof in Indian market?
So right now, you know, many of them, Hyundai and Kia do import, Mahindra does import, there's a little bit of import by Tata Motors as well. Maruti, since they're introduced only in the new models, that is localized. These are the main players who are, offering a sunroof in their product. So this is the overall scenario of where the imports stand today. And as far as the market is concerned, I already mentioned there are three players today. I mean, the Webesto, CIE, and the Gabriel. So Gabriel is another. So the three players in the market. And yes, I mean, definitely a huge scope for everybody here.
Right, sir. So what has been the CapEx done for the sunroof till now? And in the content of the sunroof, what could be the value addition? And what's the status of JV formation? And what would be the valuation for the InAlpha acquiring the stake in the JV?
Okay, so currently we are in the making stage. So the amount that has been invested till 30th June is fairly small. It's in the range of 9 crores. Large part of that is still lying as cash in their books. Total commitment of share capital we've shared earlier also is 60 crores, which will be shared by the two JV partners. The remaining part of the capex will be handled through the funding, which the entity is capable of doing it itself. In total, the InAlpha is going to own 51% and Gabriel is going to own 49%. The status of the application is called Press Note 3 application, PN3. We've already, actually InAlpha has globally already applied for that, and it's currently with the authorities and they are reviewing the same. There has been some development on that, but fairly small.
Right, sir. Just on the last question, we continue to be a single source supplier for Ola Electric, sir?
Continue to what?
Ola Electric.
Oh, yes. Okay.
For the new model as well.
Yes, we have all the four models that we discussed yesterday and the motorcycle model, we are single source on everything.
Okay, and just on the new series models launched by the Triumph and the Harley, have we got any traction for those models, sir?
No, we are not on neither. Hero, we do not have any business so far. So Hero, obviously not, and with Triumph also, we do not have that piece of that part of the business. However, we are working on a few platform with TVS. For an advanced suspension.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Viraj with SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, hi. Just two questions. First is, on the EV part, what you said for four-wheelers that we have bagged for Thar and then for Harrier EV variant, but just to get a perspective, say in two-wheeler and three-wheeler, we got quite a head start vis-a-vis the competition in terms of getting a higher share of the EV startups and maybe some incumbents. When we look at the passenger vehicle EV, what is the sense in terms of the our overall play in the pipeline? So any perspective you can give in terms of in terms of share, what we would probably be looking at vis-a-vis, say, the currently the ICE variants?
Yeah, so Viraj, actually, you know, it's like this, that the current leader in the stories in EV two-wheeler and EV passenger car are totally different, right? In EV passenger car, it still is the legacy players. You know, so we have to note that big shift in dynamics. In two-wheelers, it's, you know, all the challengers, as we call them, you know, who are leading the pack. So what happens is, in passenger car now, the almost 80% of the market share is Nexon, the Nexon EV, right? Now, Nexon EV, classically, it's an ICE platform. So that platform was not with us. Now, that platform is with the competition. Now, when that got converted to EV, obviously, the OEM will go to the existing current provider of suspension and not change the suspension, only retune the suspension. The suspension largely remains the same. So that's why, obviously, we are not there on the EV as we speak today, you know. But going forward, as I said, with Safari, with Harrier EV, we are in advanced discussions. Similarly, with Mahindra's, we are in discussions for the EV. So that picture will definitely change. Having said that, again, the EV penetration in India in terms of passenger car is not going to be, even now it's only at 1%. The optimistic estimate, you would know better, in even by 2030, for a passenger car is, you know, at best 20%, which is also looks like very, very optimistic. So yes, in terms of volumes, it may not impact much, but however, definitely we need to have a larger play in EV, and we are focusing our energies to ensure that we get more EV platforms, both in India as well as overseas. Coming to overseas, we are in discussions with, I would say at least two global players, which is a platform which is shared for EV as well as ICE engines. So how that goes, we'll have to see, but we are in discussions with them.
Okay. Second question is largely in terms of the new opportunities which we have. So, you know, the e-bike you talked about, us probably looking at new orders in queue in the coming quarter. Can you just give more perspective into the size of the business this can be in next 2-3 years? And similarly on the railway export part, you know, how big the market opportunity is, you know.
So coming to the first question, which is on the EV tool, it's a very interesting product, it's a very good value proposition as well. And we are looking at it mainly from the perspective of exports, because this market develop in India will take a lot of time. So the market is huge, you know, the market of EV is being projected, e-bicycles in Europe is almost 30 million. By 2030, and the growth rate is almost 20%+. And with more and more push coming on climate change, and more environmental consciousness getting into people, particularly in Europe, this will only increase. So we are seeing a very good possibility. That's why we address this. We had long time back, about 8 years back, we had ventured into the normal bicycle suspension. It was more out of an innovation exercise, but that did not have a great value proposition for us. But this surely is very exciting, both in terms of value and in terms of technology. And we, as I had mentioned last time, we definitely would not want to take it to at least the size of, in the range, at least close to 100 crore business.
Okay, and on the export piece, we talked about future development, the use of Japan,
yeah,
and new EV cars. And
same
is for
that. Yeah, sorry, I forgot to answer on the railways part. You talked about exports. So there, again, we have done some exports in the past to Sri Lankan Railways. So we are looking now, we have formally engaged a consultant to help us find new markets, particularly in Russia, in Turkey, and in some Eastern European countries, and also possibly African countries. Again, the size will not be very big, but yes, it will definitely be exports, and hope that will be at a good margin as well. Your second question which you asked, I couldn't get it. If you can repeat that.
So Viraj has left the question queue.
Okay.
We'll move on to our next question,
okay.
Which is from the line of Harshil Setia with Om Fund Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. So I want to understand what kind of size of businesses do you expect in the sunroof JV, and going ahead in terms of railways also, what kind of the size of business do you expect to ramp up in the next 3 to 5 years if possible?
So in terms of sunroof, we did mention, you know, it's an estimate, but by 2030, clearly the market potential going by, let's say even if you take a, I would say a modest estimate of 35% penetration, the market size of total sunroof would be almost 4,500 crores. That is the estimate that we have done. In fact, you know, the market share in SUV is even higher. And it can even go higher than this.
Okay. And what kind of market share are you expecting to capture in this 4,500 crore market?
Definitely with the current line that we did this, that we are putting up, you know, currently we are putting up 2 lines, and going forward we will add, definitely we will add more. So we are looking at hitting within 4 to 5 years almost 1,000 crores, and by 2030 this figure will be, you know, in terms of market share, we look at 40%.
Okay. Sir, with the current 2 lines, how much capex has been put up to set up the Chennai plant for sunroof businesses, and what is the maximum, so what kind of asset turnover do you envisage from the same?
So roughly the turnover would be 4.5 times, and the current capex, including building and long term lease related deposit and other things, and the first time investment cost of first year's installation would be in the range of 120-130 crores.
And there'd be the same margins as it is with the existing shock absorbers business, or the margins would be higher?
No, definitely higher margins.
Okay, sir. And secondly, you said that there is a strong order inquiry in the railways business. So can you just quantify what kind of order inquiries are we participating in, and what kind of business ramp up do you see in the next 2 to 3 years in the railways end?
Harshal, we mentioned that the railway revenue size is not much. So we are currently looking at a very small number, and that, I mean, it's in the region of, in terms of our total sales, it's not even, it's just about 1%, you know, a little more than 1%. So even if it grows, it won't make any, you know, big change in terms of top line.
Okay. So my last would be on the exports, and you said it is currently 4% of sales as of today. Where do you plan to take it up to in the next 3 to 5 years in terms of percentage of sales, or an absolute number if you can give? What kind of margins do we see in the export business compared to our domestic businesses?
Yeah, so you know, our clear target has been to get to double digits in exports. So I mean, we have maintained that, you know, we want to at least hit the first 10%. Things were shaping well, but we all know, you know, some political issues that happened, like our exports to Russia were completely nullified due to the ongoing conflict. So otherwise our exports would have been much better, but our target remains 10% in you know, let's say in 5 years, because we missed this.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We move on to our next question, which is from the line of Amit Hiranandani with Smiths Limited. Please go ahead.
Thanks, team, for the opportunity and congrats for the good operational performance and new orders, and sir. First, on the GM gross margin side, basically, I wanted to understand, you know, how do you see input cost for balance part of the year and sustainability of the current EBITDA margin in this fiscal?
So, in the previous discussion, also in the quarter, we had mentioned that we are taking measures in terms of improving our margins. So, our endeavor would be to sort of either continue here or further on improve.
And sir, can you give the CAPEX outlook for FY24 and 25, including Inalpha?
Including Inalpha, it should be in the range of 160 crores, roughly.
Okay, this is for FY24, right?
23-24, yes.
Okay. And sir, next is basically, how's the traction of FSD, any new model addition for this tech?
You got dropped off for some time, but coming to FSD, very good traction, I must say. Luckily, our first model, XUV7, is being appreciated very well. Clearly is different and much more comfortable. So we already have two other OEMs where we are demonstrating this product to them on their models. We'll have to see how it goes from there, but yeah, certainly good action, yeah.
Also, sir, Gabriel now started de-risking and diversifying from shock absorbers. So, directionally, which new product the company is planning to enter, and you know, how many more new products we can expect in the next 5-7 years now?
Okay, that's a good question. As I did mention, you know, we have done the first one, so we'll continue on this agnostic theme, any product which we see very strong demand, because it's not that IC engine is going away completely. In India, it's going to coexist for a long, long time, and for the globe, India is very likely going to be the last man standing when it comes to IC engines. So we're not completely closed on that, but yes, the key plank will be agnostic products. So we are scanning those, our plan is to come up with one more in the coming fiscal, one more acquisition, and 5 to 7 years. We can definitely see at least 1 to 2 more.
Okay, so just last question. Can you like share the average realization, of your segments like two wheeler, passenger, commercial?
It's always difficult for us to say we cannot.
Okay, sir, fine. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, we request you to restrict to 2 questions per participant. We move on to our next question, which is from the line of Devang Patel with Sameeksha Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, our share in EV two-wheelers is down from 80% in Q4 to 73%. And you said earlier we not sustain that market share, but any reason you could ascribe for this drop in QOQ? Is it because subsidy was ended?
No, it's, some of the players, let's say Okinawa, which we are supplying, Okinawa volumes have come down significantly. So there's a little bit of change in arithmetic mainly. And like we said, 73%, it would in fact be a little higher if we come to exact numbers. Sometimes it's difficult to get the exact numbers as well. But it's not that we are not sustained. We certainly are sustaining what we have got, and we continue the business with all the OEMs. It's nothing that we have lost, right? So it's only a mix of the overall pie.
Okay. So, secondly, in the presentation, CAPEX of 13.6 crore is mentioned for Q1. What is the standalone CAPEX, and does this include Inalpha? And if you can just repeat those numbers again for the full year, what is our CAPEX for sunroofs and what is the CAPEX in standalone?
Yeah. So, the number that you mentioned is for standalone only. The CAPEX for Inalpha is 10 crores.
it's not capex, it's actually a share capital introduction. Now coming to the overall outlook, we are looking at 160 crores, 280 crores of cash outflow, including in Alpha.
So already a lot of shared work and etc. is done. So there must be some capex already done for in Alpha in Q1.
Today we are in August. The numbers I'm talking to you is of 30th June. So yes, you're right.
And Devang, it's a lease facility, yeah? By the way.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Jayesh Gandhi with Harshad Gandhi Securities. Please go ahead.
First of all, congratulations on a good set of numbers. My question is again relating to Inalpha. Can you just provide me with a, since we already made presentation to Mahindra, Maruti, Tata Motors, if you have any feedback, can you just share what kind of feedback have you received from them? And the other question is, since we are looking at, if I heard you correct, our vision is by 2030, we take 40% of market share in sunroof, which is like closer to, according to you, it's like 4,500 crores. And asset turnover is like 4 to 5 times. So, we think, I think we should have a gross block of closer to like 500 crores. And currently we are sitting on some cash, which again we think you are going to, I think you are going to deploy for the acquisition. So from the current fixed assets, a gross block of say 420 crores, are we thinking of moving to somewhere closer to like 1500, 1600 crores in like next 7 years? That's all from my side.
Okay. Now coming to your first part, you know, you asked about Mahindra, Tata and the customer. So I think, you know, we launched the new JV on May 9th. Right, that's let's say 3 months back, less than 3 months back maybe. Within that, we have already, after meeting this, we have got one RFQ which we have responded. We have got we already done two RFIs, request for information, and you know the NDAs have been signed with two customers. So that's, you know, at least good initial movement within a short time of a couple of months. So I would say leave it at that. Of course, for the business translation, it will take some time. But yeah, at least, you know, there's been, compared to our other experience on other products, etc., it's been really fast. You know, this turnaround in terms of getting the RFQ, getting the RFI, it's really fast. So obviously there'll be good conversion of this request for information, request for quotes. Your second part. Yes, we are right now, we are going to put 170 crores and then in this JV. And obviously, we are very clear that we'll have to augment the lines, probably put up a facility in another geography as well to meet two customer demands based on the, you know, huge interest that we are seeing. So, yes, surely we'll be looking at adding at least another 100 odd crores in terms of investment to augment capacities for sunroof going forward.
So, Jayesh, if I got your data points correctly, in terms of total, what you say is correct. But let's remember that it's a JV. So, it's a 51% stake is yet to come in the country. Once the PN3 approval comes, the capital investment from share capital perspective will be co-shared. And this entity is profitable as well as a good cash generator from its first year of operations. So our plan is not to induct too much of share capital, but to actually leverage the entity assets itself for its operations. So broadly, 60 to 100 crores, maybe 120, 50 crores is what total share capital introduction from both the parties is envisaged. Remaining will be debt.
Okay. One last question. Since we are thinking of deploying this cash, so adding one or two more products in the next 5 to 6 years, what is generally our thinking while we choose a product? in terms of ROE, ROCE or ROE, whatever. Is it going to be on similar lines, or you don't mind diluting on margins, or can you just throw some picture on that?
So, Jay, this is an important aspect of any capital investment that we are looking at. There are a few hurdle rates. So, payback, IRR, these are the standard ones. In terms of ROS as well, it should be margin accretive to what Gabriel is currently. Now, when it comes to the return on investment on a long-term basis, it should be in the range of 20%+ is what we essentially look at. But all depends upon what kind of synergies that the target can have with us and where we can take the entity once we have acquired the stake. So while we have our hurdle rates, we also evaluate each case-to-case basis.
That's all for my side. Best of luck.
Thank you, Josh.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Viraj with SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible now?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yeah, I just have 2-3 questions. First is on the export piece. You know, we talked about FUSO Japan as a new customer for future development. So just to kind of get a perspective in terms of the size of the business, you know, so if you have to compare, say, to the PACA group or DAS, you know, what will be the size of the opportunity here for us? With regards to the PACA group or DAS, what will be our share now based on the orders we already have?
So, just to clarify, Viraj, you said the FUSO, right, Japan?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, FUSO and DAV business, the size is not too big, but what we are hinging our exports on is more on one big passenger car order coming through because the volumes are much higher. And in terms of DAV, we are only on the cabin dampers. But you know, we have now got that axle damper or RFQ as well, so that the strategy is playing out right. We have demonstrated a good quality and consistent supply to them, having won awards twice in a row. Now they extended to the other damper and also extended RFQs. They've extended business to Brazil. They're extending RFQs to PACCAR World as well. So clearly, in terms of the share, it is increasing. I do not have a number to share in terms of what is our exact market share in DAF, but yeah, I'll be able to revert on that separately. FUSO is still early stages, and FUSO or, you know, for that matter, Daimler also we are speaking to, and you know, with this China plus one getting more and more real, we see a lot of scope. But yes, we have to note that the pricing of China is really cutthroat.
Okay. Second question is on the margin front. You know, if I look at last year, 2023, and if you look in the annual report, you know, we had a negative impact of around 51 crores from the price change. So I understand, you know, we've seen an expansion in gross margin, but for this particular aspect, do we see bulk of that benefit flowing to us in 2024? Given that RM prices are now, you know, trending downwards?
Viraj, you need to clarify me this 51 crores where you have seen and how have you computed?
So, you know, in the annual report, if you see, you know, there's a revenue as per contracts, and other than the discount part, there's a price change, change to customers. So,
No, that's not. No, that is not the case. These are the 51 is what basically is the unbilled part of it. So it's only a reflection on the year and what is outstanding. So in the previous year, to give you a perspective, we've had almost close to 95% recovery in terms of all commodity. What impacted us was the denominator effect. And the aftermarket piece, which obviously it cannot be increased in line of the market. But now with the downward cycle, for example, in this quarter, we've already seen a 0.1% denominator positive effect, as well as the commodity effect of 0.1%. So currently with the downward cycle, we will be seeing benefits coming out of that. But given that we have a proper accrual mechanism in books, none of the benefits or the losses of previous year, if any, are expected to be recovered in this year, other than commodities of the market.
But just a further question on this, if we have already provided for the unbilled part in 23, or maybe for the 24, if I got it this right, then in 24, the margin expansion should be even better, right? Because the provision has already been made.
No, no. So commodity is a quarterly settlement, for example. So whatever is the movement on account of commodity multiplied by the commodity, multiplied by the quantity in that particular quarter, that is only accrued. The future never gets accrued in either case, right?
Okay.
So in this year, whatever is going to be the movement, we are going to flow with that movement, either upward or downward cycle, as the case may be.
Okay. And just one more question was on the sunroof part. I think when we were starting out, we were looking at initially setting up one line. And what we understand that we are now looking at two lines. So what is driving this change? Is it that the volume expectation from existing two customers itself is more, and that is what driving an expansion? So any perspective you can share?
Yeah, so I mean, we had always mentioned that our plan is for two lines, and we begin with one line, and the expectation from the two customers is going to be met towards with these two lines itself.
Okay, so the total capacity from two lines will be close to 4 lakh units, right?
Little less than that, but yeah, around that number.
Okay, and the investment of 170 crores, which we talked about, so if I go to 24, that bulk of that investment, so the equity part of say 60 to 100, 120 crores, that purely would be initially from GV, and the rest will be funded.
So 60 crores is the share capital till the time span you mentioned. This is till we get the PN3 approval. Obviously, because there is a government authority involved here, we have no certainty as to when it will happen. So, assuming that it happens in Q4, the capital investment from the JV partner will come in, and our stake also will get diluted.
Okay. So, total capex standalone would be 160 crores this year. And in addition, we would have another 60 to 120. That's the investment.
Standalone is 120 crores.
Okay, so when you say 160 is already included, the expense part. Okay.
Yes, that is what the question was.
Okay, thank you very much and good luck.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Ravi Rohit with Securities Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Most of my questions have been answered. Just wanted to know, you know, I think the balance sheet, we have this 2% management fee that gets charged every year. Has there been a change in that in this quarter or in this year, or that continues to be remaining at 2% in future as well?
No, there's been no change in that. It continues to be the same, yeah.
So there is no numerical value that there is a cap put where you have to kind of go back to shareholders to get a clear. It's just like a formula 2%, whatever the revenue is.
Yes, sir. We just tested out on arm's length basis, and we have done benchmarking. All the studies we have shared, so it continues to be 2%.
Okay. Thank you. I'll come back. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I would now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
Thank you. Thanks all for your inputs and your compliments as well. As I did mention, we will continue to focus on sustaining the margins and in fact even improving them. The next quarter definitely is looking good. It's a festive quarter. So the best quarter for the entire industry. We hope that we will be able to meet all the demands of all the customers, and while doing that also ensure that we maintain our efficiencies. And our focus clearly remains, as I did mention, to sustain the EV two-wheeler market share and also make some inroads in EV passenger car, though it is still a small part of the whole business. And yes, one more clear focus area this quarter will be, you know, getting those machines unloaded and commissioned in our sunroof venture in Chennai. So that's a very key activity that we are really focusing on this coming quarter. So with that, I wish everybody a very, very happy festive season. And, you know, because we'll be meeting only actually after the festive season is over in November. So thank you and all the best to everybody.
Thank you. The conference of Gabriel India Limited has now concluded. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect your lines.